Ladies, at the cross where I first saw the light. Hopefully you have seen the light. If you haven't, today is your day. What a great day it is to be in the house of the Lord today. If you are a guest of ours, I wanted to make sure that you know that there's an information desk right outside the sanctuary here. You want to stop because there's a special gift for you. I will just let you know there's a little gift card in that gift and you'll want to stop. I have a great feeling that you would want to. So please, if you're a guest, stop by on your way out this morning. We're so thankful that you're here. If you're a regular attender, you don't get that gift today, but maybe you'll get one somewhere along the way. So if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't happen to have a Bible with you today, there's probably one in a pew rack in the seat in front of you. We have been going through as a church Hebrews chapter 11. So if you're a regular attender, you know we're in Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to share with you from God's Word today. I want to share with you on a topic that I think is true for all of us. And it's how we handle that and how we deal with that. And so the title of the message is Promises Not Received. I wonder if you've ever been in a place where you thought, I was given a promise and then it wasn't fulfilled. Maybe as a young kid, as I share with you about this, maybe you won't like this a whole lot, but as I share with you about this, you'll think, you know, as a kid, my mom and dad promised me, and then you never got it. And so as I share this, you're going to be like, thanks a lot, Pastor Steve, for bringing that up. Maybe for you, it's been a spouse. A spouse has said something to you or has said something, and then all of a sudden you thought, well, here it is. And then it fell by the wayside somehow. Maybe you had a friend that came and said, I will. And then that friend didn't. Or maybe you had a boss come to you and say, by the way, you're the next one in line. And then all of a sudden, you weren't the next one in line when it came to pass. If something is promised, then we expect it. Maybe you feel like, well, I live in Rapid City. I live in the United States of America. And so because of that, I should receive that. And we've been looking in Hebrews chapter 11, and we see here some people who maybe didn't receive all of the promise. And so we want to look to say, how did they handle that exactly? And so Hebrews chapter 11, I'm just going to have one verse, and that's verse 13. And so please join me. You may have brought a little gadget with me. Maybe you brought your own Bible in front of you, or it'll be on the screen as well behind me. Here's what it says to us today. And I will make mention of this also. I'm warm today, so you might be warm as well. And so I know several of you appear to be warm. We've tried to adjust these little dampers a little bit, and maybe that's not working so good. So anyway, if it's warm, you're a little warm, sweat a little bit, and enjoy as we share here today. Trust me, it's going to be warmer outside today. It's going to be a hot day today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Let me repeat that again. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and thus greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. I need to point out this to you. Starting in the beginning, we have some points that you can follow along with on the screen as well. Everyone dies. That's not really where this passage is going, but I've got to mention that to you. Everyone dies. Every one of us will die. We see that in Hebrews, that everyone died except for one. Enoch didn't die, and we know Jesus went on up to heaven. But what do you want to be said about your death? In verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says that through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. What do you want it said about your life? Where will you spend eternity when you die? I'm not wanting to be morbid, but I am wanting to remind us that everybody here is going to pass away sometime. Be ready for the day. Christ is important. Or will you be known as Steve, he was a great Dallas Cowboys fan. Or Steve, he was a great Los Angeles Lakers fan. Or Steve, he had four kids. No. Steve was a man of faith, and through through all of it, though he died, his faith still speaks. But I also thought of something else here this morning. I thought of this in our lives. There are sometimes when we need to talk not about physical death. Some of us haven't had a physical death yet. Okay, all of us haven't had a physical death yet. But we've had the death of something. Every one of you in the room has had a death of something. You've had a death of a dream, maybe. You had a death of a hope. Maybe you had a death of a job. And when we've had those deaths, they can prove devastating to us. Some of us rise up out of it. As I'm talking this morning, there may be something in your life that's been a death for you. And you're like, well, that was a very down time. But then what happens when we come out of that? If you have great faith, something greater can come even in those deaths. And maybe you're just here this morning, maybe you just need to hear this. Let it die. Sometimes there are some things that we just try to continue to bring life out of and we try to make happen. And God is saying, let it die. And in faith, you just believe for something else. Sometimes we just keep pulling at it though. And we're like, it can come. It really can. And maybe God's been speaking to you even in recent days and just say, let it die. You let it die, and we'll go in there in just a moment. You just let it die in faith that God can do something, and he will. Everyone dies. These all died in faith. Now, when we say these all died in faith, we got to understand who are these. And if you look back in the first part of chapter 11, you'll see it's probably talking about Abraham. It's probably talking about Isaac, probably talking about Jacob, talking about Sarah. If you look in the first part of Hebrews chapter 11, you see all these people, and it says, by faith, by faith. It doesn't say by faith to begin this verse, but it's meaning that. What does it mean to die in faith? I believe it means that despite them totally not seeing everything that was supposed to be happening, they believed. Talk about otherworldly for these people. They were able to look beyond. They were able to see beyond where they were at. Let me give you a perspective from a small business. Let's say that you have, and some of you have done this. Let's say some of you have decided to start a small business. Let's say that because you've started a small business, you know that it takes some money to make happen. Depends on what kind of business that is. Depends on how much money you need. Now, my son in recent days, through my encouragement, has started a little lawn mowing business. Now, there's not a lot of startup cost in a lawn mowing business, especially when dad provides the lawnmower. That's a nice thing, isn't it, son? Yes, he's back in the sound booth today. But somewhere along the way, he made a sign. Now, the sign cost him like $13, $15. That's not a whole lot of money. But I will tell you that from that sign, we've had several people on our block come to him and say, hey, we want you to mow the lawn. And he's made that money back, and it's the investment. Then when you invest your money, you need a business model. You need some kind of a model so you can say, how am I going to make this happen? Then you have to start to market your business. Then the first, few days, few weeks, few months. Some of you, if you've started a business, know that it's even a few years or maybe even decades. The amount of time that you put into your business can at times seem overwhelming. Can I have an amen on this? If you're a small business owner, you know this. It's like, wow. But there's something inside of you that has a belief, has a faith in your business. And so at the beginning, at least, you believe in your product. You believe in what you're doing. And you continue to do this for some time, but eventually, may not be until retirement, you say enough because you get tired of doing it. It just becomes overwhelming, becomes exhausting for you. Maybe because you've earned enough money or whatever. Maybe you want to put it on to somebody else. But because of that, when you hand it over, you still have faith that it's going to be a successful business. This is the same way in our lives, especially in a Christian life. You start off and you're excited about it. You're like, this is awesome. This is great. I love Jesus. Let's tell everybody about Jesus. And then over time, you quit doing some of those things and you start getting frustrated at some things, so you just kind of give up. Well, that wouldn't happen in your business because you got to still have faith in it. These individuals, they continue to have faith. Faith in something bigger than yourself, because the truth of the matter is everything else is going to pass away. And what do we have to hold on to in this life? And I believe that's something of faith in Almighty God. We all have a great respect, admiration, and esteem for those who have great faith. And when they die, we see that ever so clearly. When individuals die that don't have great faith, we see that very clearly as well. These people, they died in faith. But this is what the scripture goes on to say. Not having received the things promised. They didn't receive the things promised. There's a part of me that just wants to ask a question and say, what a cruel God. God says, I'm going to give you this, and they didn't ever see the things promised. But I want you to say, I think God has a different timetable on it. What are the promises? Barclay, a commentator, says, in spite of everything, these men never lost their vision and their hope. What is God's promise? Maybe for you, you have felt like God's promise was like these two brothers. There was two brothers, and the older brother, the older brother said, if you'll let me break these three eggs on the top of your head, can I give you $1? And the second younger brother says, promise. And the older brother says, promise. So the first brother proceeded to, Fred, do you want to help? No, I'm joking. I'm sitting in the front row. So the first brother proceeded to break the one egg on top of the kid's head. And he broke the second egg on top of the kid's head. And the second brother is sitting there waiting for the third. And he's waiting there. And he's got goop coming down his head. And he said, when are you going to do the third egg? And the older brother said, that would cost me $1. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel you've not received the promise. I'm telling you, that's not the way God works. If you've had a viewpoint of that, and for some reason that's how you felt, God's promises are so much different. It's not God's promises. When he says he'll do something, he will do it. Let me share with you some of these that I found. We say it's impossible, and God says all things are possible with me, Mark 10:27. We say, I can't do it. And in Philippians 4:13, it says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We say, I'm too tired. And God says in Matthew 11:28, come to me and I will give you rest. We say, I'm always worried and frustrated. And in 1 Peter 5:7, God says to us, cast all your cares upon me. We say, I can't go on. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, God says to us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made strong in weakness. We say, I can't figure things out. And God says in Psalms 119:105, I will direct your steps. We say, I'm not able. And in Romans 4:21, God says, I am able. We say, I can't manage, but God promises in Philippians 4:19, he will supply your needs according to the riches in glory. We say, I'm afraid, and in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of might and a strong mind. We say, I'm not smart enough. And James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give to all liberally and without reproach. And we say, I feel all alone. And God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's in Deuteronomy 31:8. These heroes of the faith, these ones that we're talking about here, they didn't know Canaan, the promised land. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the Gospels. They didn't know the last 2,000 years of Christian civilization. And so some of the promise that they didn't know, they weren't able to be alive for long enough. Do we limit God on his promise? We desire good health. We desire an easy life. But is that what God has promised? When someone makes a promise, it hasn't happened yet. Hear that again. When someone makes a promise to you, it hasn't happened yet. The only thing that we have is that person's word. I promise you I'll do that. And until they come through is when that will happen. Have you ever felt that God dropped his promise to you? Maybe you and I haven't totally understood his promise, and maybe what happens is we don't trust God in his word. Maybe that's some of our problem. At the core of us, we lack the belief in God's word. These people knew of the promise. They saw them from afar, is what the scripture says, and greeted them from afar. Maybe you've seen Christianity from afar, but you have not embraced the promise yet. Embrace it today. Make this relationship your own. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hear me in this. You haven't received all the promise yet either. You haven't. There's a greater thing out there. It's greater than us. Maybe read it this way. The people didn't receive the fulfillment of God's plan. Not that God went back on his promise, because sometimes we read it that way. Well, he went back on his promise. No, he didn't go back on his promise. He still had a promise, but there's a bigger promise than just themselves. And they had great faith in the promise giver. Number four, we are not of this world. Do you ever feel like you just don't fit in this world? Don't say that about me, please, of course, but maybe you feel that way. Maybe you say, I just don't fit in. This version, the English Standard Version, calls us strangers and exiles. There's another version that calls us an alien. Now, that's kind of a weird word. You're an alien, but that's true. We get so centered on our cares of this world. We buy into the lie that this is all there is, but there's more. We focus on our gadgets that tell us the breaking news of some tragedy or the latest baseball scores or how Gordon Hayward is going to do with the Boston Celtics, or we wake up to the same old job and lose encouragement when the raise doesn't come our way. We buy something new so we can feel fresh again. Wow, this car is new, so it smells so fresh. We eat out so we don't have to cook another drudgery meal. Have you caught it yet, though? There's a greater promise there. It's a promise of a relationship with God Almighty, a relationship with an eternal presence. The Bible says that you and I are created in the image of God, male and female. We are made by a creator, and we are made to know that creator. Sometimes maybe we feel guilty because we know we're not good enough. That is why Jesus came. He came to give us life. And he came to give us an opportunity to have a relationship with him. But I contend that without Jesus, we live empty lives. Sure, we fill our lives with other things. And many of you have done this. You've filled your life with all kinds of things. Sometimes people fill their lives with alcohol, thinking that will fulfill them. And, well, eventually it doesn't. Fill our lives with sports. Fill our lives with books. Fill our lives with internet or wherever you fill yourself. Where we have to be filled with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know if you've ever read the book called The Pilgrim's Progress. It might be a little difficult to read, but yet it would be a good read for you. In the Pilgrim's Progress, there's an incident related of how Christian, he's the main character, decides to leave the main highway, and he decides to follow another path which seemed easier. But this path leads him into the territory of giant despair, who owns Doubting Castle. Eventually, Christian is captured by giant despair, and he is kept in a dungeon. He is advised to kill himself. The giant said there was no use trying to keep on with his journey, and for the time, it seemed as if despair had really conquered Christian. But then, hope, Christian's companion, reminds him of previous victories. So it came about that on Saturday, about midnight, they began to pray and continued in prayer until morning. Now, a little before it was day, almost morning actually, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in passionate speech. And here's what he said. What a fool am I thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may be as well at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle. Then said hopeful, that's good news, brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try. And the prison gates flew open. Let the gates be open for you. There's something deep within you, whether you know it or not, that Christ is calling to each one of us. Whether I'm a pastor up front, whether you found yourself in Christ for many years, he calls out to you. And maybe you find yourself like Christian in a stinking dungeon and you think, I've lost everything. You haven't. It shows in the scripture, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, realizing they were strangers and exiles on the earth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Hear these words. Christ will not fail me. How precious the word. I am secure with my Savior and Lord. His love faileth never, endureth forever, and legions of angels shall over me guard. He promised to keep me, support and defend me when trials o'ertake and temptations assail. He promised to guide me, and I am persuaded his promises never, no, never can fail. Christ will not fail me, a child of his care. All of my burdens he gladly will share. He's ever beside me. No harm can betide me. For when I most need him, my Savior is there. Christ will not fail me when tempted by sin. He felt his power in the struggle to win. My weakness he knoweth. His love ever showeth, so sweetly controlling my spirit within. Onward I journey. No need shall I know, but that his goodness and power will bestow. The while I am clinging, my glad heart is singing, for Christ is beside me wherever I go. He promised to keep me, support and defend me when trials overtake and temptations assail. He promised to guide me, and I am persuaded his promises never, no, never can fail. These great people of the faith, they died in their faith, not receiving all the promises because they didn't know all of them. God didn't leave them, and God hasn't left you. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for each one of you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person in this room on this day. Again, I believe that you've brought them in to hear this message on this day for a reason. There may be somebody here who's never accepted you as Savior and Lord, and they don't have faith in you today, and they need that. And I just pray that even right now they would say, in the quietness of this moment, I want to have faith in you, Almighty God, and that you would bestow upon them your forgiveness, your love, and may you just shower upon them. Lord Jesus, there may be somebody else here today who is lacking faith in someone or something, And it's very difficult for them. I pray that they would have faith in you and that they would trust in you. Thank you for the promises of your word. And thank you that we can depend upon you. And I pray that you would raise them up and encourage them in their faith. Though, Lord Jesus, we may be strangers and exiles and aliens, oh God, I pray that you would help us to know that you are with us every step of the way. And may we see beyond. May you help each person as they think about leaving today. May they see beyond just what is in front of them today, and they would see the grandeur that's in front of them because you are with them. So, Lord, I pray that you would go before each of us today, each of us this week, and remind us of the things that are in front of us. As we look next week to the heavenly city that's being prepared, may we even think on that this week, the place in heaven that is prepared for each of us. And may we not lose faith, but may we hold tight to you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and guard every step we take this week. Go before us. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed.